The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul, Mission Control, Deccant. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. And as you might be able to tell, folks, we are recording live on the road in Las Vegas. You are listening to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know live at the iHeart Podcast Studio, powered by Bose at the House of Music at iHeart Radio Music Festival.
You might be able to hear some bops. There might be some mild bops in the background.
Might be a little dirt.
It's just part of the show.
Yeah.
We're working live, as we say. We're on the road. We're right here in this whole plaza thing. All kinds of beautiful Las Vegas. What do you call it? Las Vegan?
A Las Vegan.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. Nice. But hey, but don't worry. Paul, Mission Control Deccan's going to cut them lows.
Yeah.
So all them beats.
Oh, yeah.
Paul's on the part to twos.
Speaking of which, could you temporarily kill your mic? I think it's blasting us. I'm feeling blasted.
I think it might just be the music.
Was off because it felt like I got, you know what?
All right, let's keep the whole part.
This is a basier part of the program.
So the way we was thinking we do this, guys, we're talking about this off air, is let's just treat it like we treat so many conversations we have when we're hanging out off air at a bar somewhere or at a restaurant or on the street. We are recording live, and as you know, folks, we end up in some strange situations. So, Matt, Noel, maybe we could paint the picture here. This is not our usual studio. How would we describe it?
It's like a hyper lounge type situation.
Yeah.
We're in the hyper lounge, but it's more like a hyper cube. It's a little box in this pavilion. It's wonderful. It's the Bose House of Music from iHeart.
Yeah.
And we're having a great, I mean, honestly, the show's been amazing.
Yeah.
We've spent some time in some places we don't typically spend time in. These casino, resort, hotel, multi-use compounds.
Right. Yeah. And it gave us the opportunity to finally do an episode that's been on our collective mind for some time. The stuff casinos don't want you to know. Here are the facts. Well, you know what? Before we get to hear the facts, since we're live, let's just catch up because I think we all now have weird Vegas stories already just being in country for, sorry, being in a city for a few hours now. I am going by Greg McClanahaha. That is true.
That's a mouthful, man.
Yeah, I didn't choose it. What had happened was I went into the hotel room. There was a facilities guy who was repairing the hotel room. Very nice dude. Shout out Francis. And then he said, look, let me give you a $100 voucher for the casino. I said, thank you. And then I texted you guys about it. the name they wrote was not what they usually call me in Atlanta. It was Greg McClanahaha. And so now that's how I've been going.
It's a missed opportunity, though, because it could have been Greg McClanahanna from Atlanta.
Oh, that would have been nice.
Do you think he wrote that on there, right?
He wrote it on there.
Do you think he was going for the ha-ha, or do you think it was meant to be maybe McClanahan? Like the Golden Girls. Isn't her name, what is her name? Rue McClanahan?
Oh, that's right, right. Blanche DuBois,
exactly. Iconic character.
Iconic.
But you got that $100, right? And it immediately was like, huh, what should I do with this $100 voucher? Which, by the way, was because of this crazy MGM hack.
True
which
story.
Which we've all been affected by. Because in these Vegas hotels, the lights and the curtains and everything's like operated by an iPad. Their whole interconnectedness between the casino business, the part of the business, the resort, all of that, it's all, you know, on servers and massive IT, you know, operation, and this hack shut it down, like right. All kinds of issues, including lights not coming on.
Engineer friends of the show, there's a reason that you guys are always, guys, gals, and others are always telling us to go analog for things, because where we were at, there are tablets that run everything. It's fascinating because it helps control the environment. And that's where we start with casinos. Here are the facts. While everything may look glitzy and glamorous and carefree and spontaneous on the surface of every casino, make no mistake, modern casinos are one of the most carefully controlled environments you will ever enter. We were talking about this a little bit off air. From the moment you cross that threshold, a small army of highly trained staff is leveraged the latest in surveillance technology. They're wielding the newest insights in psychology, and they're doing it all to make sure that you have a great time and pay for it every single step of the way.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, too, because, I mean, a lot of these techniques and tactics are quite old, but they've just been updated and sort of, like, plussed up with all of the technology pieces of it that you're talking about. We all also went to the Meow Wolf Omega Mart, which is, I think, ironically a little bit, grocery stores are laid out very similarly with the same kind of weaponized psychology as casinos. And this Omega Mart thing is like this psychedelic grocery store. I think it's very appropriate that that's the installation they have here in Vegas, you know?
Yes, it's both a protest against capitalism and a celebration thereof. And case in point, too, when we talk about controlled environments, we landed last night. Let's see, Noel, I played blackjack with you and Paul. And before that, Matt, I played blackjack with you and Paul. Maybe I'm the one with the problem, but we had a pretty wholesome.
You ended up though. So I don't think, I mean, problem is relative, as we're going to get into when it comes to the idea of gambling. But I blasted through $200 on blackjack like it was nothing. And that is by design. They trick your brain into thinking the money's not real, man.
It was
I can
so
go all
much
night
fun.
And I'm going to get back up. I swear to God, it's going to happen. It's going to happen for me.
Well, I've got a really good example of that, actually, where I ended up spending, I didn't mean to, I ended up spending $100 on the slot machines.
Oh,
and but then I won $100 with that $100, and I ended up being $7 up at the end.
But you felt like $9.
I felt amazing.
You felt like you won $107.
Yeah, it was incredible because I did technically win like $120. I won like way more than I lost way more than I actually won, basically, is what I'm saying.
Zebra print drunk lady is trying to get up in the scene.
Yeah, we're loving it. We're loving it. This guy, I dig your vibe. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Go. Let's go.
Yeah, security
guys. Let's really paint this picture. There's a set of glass doors in front of us. We're in a cube here performing.
About the size of the old, a little bit smaller than the old Stuff You Should Know.
Performing? Yes. We're hanging out, man.
Yeah.
We're vibing is what we're doing.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, I shouldn't use that
No, you
phrase.
Can use it. I mean, you know, we're
making a podcast.
We're putting on a show for the people outside
in
the
public.
Glass.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this off air, you know, I told each of you in different conversations that I kind of like the setup because I love validation. I don't know about you guys, but every time I walk into a zoo, I'm like, this orangutan gets all the attention. What if I want some snacks?
Not to mention if they then validate your parking. Then that's like double validation.
I knew the orangutans got validated parking. I knew that. I knew it from the jump.
They're the stars of the show, just like us in this particular interesting situation, which I'm, again, loving. But, you know, The $100 voucher, you started off with that, I believe, as your sort of seed money. I busted out instantly. It was just absurd how quickly it went. But I enjoyed every second of it.
It was wholesome. It was a wholesome
good time. It was sitting with my dudes at the blackjack table. Felt like I was in a movie or something.
Learning
I felt
stuff.
Like it was worth the privilege of sitting with you gentlemen. That $200 was the price of admission.
And also think about the way we would have spent the money otherwise. You know, it's fascinating because we're participating in something that is an ancient human pursuit.
Yeah,
right?
Impulse.
A recreation.
Yeah, but yeah. And it, yeah.
Well, yeah, because it does feel great, even if you do lose a little bit of money. But the line is so fine there when it comes to the amount of money you've lost, right?
Sure.
Because it very quickly, all of a sudden, becomes an unsustainable loss.
Ah, yes. And the time lapse, the perception of time, which we talk about often, is part of it. And that's like, okay, so casinos, modern casinos, are not actually that old. It's so weird. They only date back a few centuries. You know, the first casinos were in Italy in the 17th century, so the 1600s, and they existed to provide, get this, a controlled gambling environment, a place where you might not get stabbed.
So I was going to say.
If the dice went the wrong way.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, into like the boom and bust era, the gold rush and all of that stuff in the American West, you know, places that have been kind of, I guess, yeah, the film, well, it was a film, but the television series Deadwood, I don't think that was exactly correct in terms of the historical figures and the way they all, you know, kind of connected in that particular series. But what it represents was a very specific time and place where you had these saloons that also served as houses of ill repute and you know, games of chance. And
restaurants.
And liquor, yeah. Oh,
what was the thing with sawdust?
Well, that's what I was getting to. I mean, in these early days, the model was, you know, there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. You mentioned, I think the Europeans maybe had it figured out better because people got killed all the time to the point where they had to start confiscating people's, you know, sidearms or whatever before they went in. But people still got murdered.
Sure.
And their blood would just soak up into the sawdust that was all over the floor. Or their bodily excretions or whatever it might be, their spittoon.
Spit. Yep. Yeah.
And then they just sweep it up at the end of the night, and then they just pour another, you know, sawdust kind of load on the floor the next day. And it was so the subfloors wouldn't get soaked through and damaged, but it was obviously super nasty.
Not a great look. I mean, I'm glad you're mentioning the U.S. because if you fast forward through time, we'll see that European settlers and colonists, they brought their favorite games along with them, but those games were games that originated from somewhere else. Yes, they brought the ancient games like chess, but they also bought roulette, and soon enough, Mississippi steamboats picked up gambling, like in that amazing film, and I don't mean that in a good way, The Maverick, starring Mel Gibson.
So that's roughly Deadwood adjacent, a little later, I think. That was right?
Yeah, it's around there. So another perspective, we know that as far back as 1829, probably earlier, people in New Orleans were playing some version of poker for money. And as we learned pretty recently, there are way more versions of poker than we thought.
Yeah, like in Deadwood, for example, they've got games that they don't call it that anymore. Pharaoh was one, which I think was a dice game, but there was other, you know, if you've ever played like Red Dead Redemption, some of the gambling type games like Liar's Dice and, you know, games that have fallen out of fashion, but were kind of the early, you know, games of chance.
Well, we're going to get in
this country.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get into that. I like that you're talking about different kinds of poker. Because one of the things we're going to get into later is the carnival style games that are based upon games we know, like poker and blackjack and roulette and all of those.
Yeah. And we can fast forward here, too, because we haven't gotten quite to the crazy part, although this is a very strange story. There was another big sea change, a paradigm shift that occurred when technology entered the gambling floor. Now, technology has always been driven by vice, right? The reason VHS won over Betamax was due to pornography, right? And that's just true. Another vice you could say is war and conflict always drives technological innovation. Gambling, while it is a recreational thing that is a lot of fun and doesn't hurt people, usually, it also was driven by innovation. The mechanization later, the computerization of gambling meant that casino owners could finally do something they always dreamed of doing for centuries. They could monitor, predict, and regulate winnings.
Right, in terms of the ability to track people's, you know, behavior, using surveillance and all that stuff, and also just the ability to scale. You know, once you have machines that don't require human input, then you can just dump dozens of them onto a giant space like the size of like an airplane hangar and just kind of let them run themselves. And I think one thing that we all learned when we were looking into this kind of stuff is there's a law in Las Vegas, and it may be in other states too or in other cities, where these machines are required to pay out a certain amount compared to what is put into them.
Yes.
And the companies, these different resort hotels and casinos, they know exactly what that number is, and they're not going to pay out a penny more than that. So the jackpots are regulated and paid out just to hit that number.
Whoa. Yeah, that gets to what we call progressive machines.
That's
because
right.
They're connected together such that when more people are playing them, just like an MMORPG,
they pay out more?
The jackpot increases.
Oh. Isn't that kind of how the lottery works too?
Like the lottery
the more,
works
when
as
you
well.
See it on a big billboard, the number keeps getting higher, and it's because of how many people have bought tickets.
Wait, collective action.
Let's stop this recording. Let's head back to the casino. Let's
get
recruit
50
like
people.
Yeah, a bunch more people. Let's all go play the same slot machines.
Yeah.
And let's see how high
people
this baby
have tried
can go.
That. People have tried that. It goes back to the prisoner's dilemma, the old game theory thing, because everybody will be on board when it's 50 folks, you know, all going in on a lottery ticket. But what if one person is the winner?
It's a different conversation.
Will they cooperate? Will they do what they said they would
one
do?
Would hope.
One would. I think the three of us would be good at it. But the first
Let's talk about the floor, the casino floor right now. The ones that we're in.
Okay.
All of the video game machines.
Sure.
That are allegedly slot machines. They're slot machines. They're all video game machines. That didn't even start until what?
Oh, that's right. Yes. So the first gambling machine, the early version of the slot machine, doesn't come along until 1976, the first video slot machine. The first gambling ones in general, people are still fighting over this. If you're playing trivia and someone tells you it was definitely New York or definitely San Francisco, contest that trivia
point. But in like 1900s, like early 1900s-ish kind of? Because I got to say really quickly, I went on a really neat tour yesterday of the Museum of Neon here in Las Vegas, and I learned a bunch of very interesting things because it's literally all of these old signs from these, you know, casinos from the back to the founding of Las Vegas, kind of as we know it, in terms of like being a gambling mecca. And one thing I learned was that Las Vegas was only founded as a city in as early as 1905.
Right.
And it wasn't until like the 40s that it really kind of got going the way we know it. Yeah. And one thing that was interesting too is I think, if I'm not mistaken, Las Vegas was one of the first, if not the first city to integrate. And it was because of all these black performers that weren't allowed to gamble in the casinos where they were singing, you know, like Sammy Davis Jr., which now has
Frank
a boulevard named
fought
after
for that
him.
With the Rat Pack.
That's right. And it was because of that there was this sea change, and there was originally, I think, one casino where the black performers were allowed to hang out, but then they changed the law, and it was because of these performers and the kind of power they wielded. So very progressive city in an interesting way. But this guy, Benny Binion, is the reason. He was like kind of a old cowboy type guy, grew up in Texas and then moved to Vegas in the 40s. Went to prison for tax evasion, but he also is the reason that the sawdust thing started getting replaced with carpet. And then that created the idea of kind of crappy casinos were known as sawdust joints, and like nice casinos were known as carpet joints.
Wow.
Wow. You know, it's weird because I've been looking around at different houses and stuff, and carpet is not ideal for
out.
Houses,
it's kinda
but,
out.
But it's in for casinos because it feels homey, right?
I want to stick on those slot machines just for one more second.
It.
Just because there's in the casino where we're staying, there's this tiny little room in the back that has the old manual slot machines. And I just want to just really quickly think about the mechanical movement required to activate a slot machine.
Sure.
It's like then versus now.
Yeah.
With a physical movement with your arm on a lever to a lever, right? So every time you put in a coins at the time, pull that lever, you made a bet, right? And now with the advent of these video machines, it is literally just you touch a button like you would an arcade game or you would, you know, on a remote control somewhere.
You trigger an RNG, a random number generator, right?
That's exactly, but you're the physical action you need to take is
And this changes things. One could argue the reason there are some machines that have ornamental slots.
Right.
They're still clearly video. Mm-hmm. They're not mechanical. They have that because they are leveraging muscle memory. That's part of the crazy action here. In 1994, Antigua and Barbuda passed the Free Trade and Processing Act that let people open online casinos, which is a big thing. But right now, online casinos and online gambling, they're their own bag of badgers. Physical casinos rule the roost when you think of gambling. Macau, Monte Carlo, and of course, the fair metropolis of Las Vegas. You can, in each of these places, you can live in a city all its own. Las Vegas is not one city. It's like multiple huge Matt, we compared it to cruise ships before. It's multiple self-contained cities. You can eat, sleep, drink, shop, see shows, gamble, romance. Yes. You name it.
And all get without, rewards and bonus points.
Yes, and get apps. All without leaving your casino. And that is very much by design. You see, it turns out there's plenty of stuff casinos don't want you to know. We'll pause for a word from our sponsors. And then we'll roll the dice. Pull the lever.
Push the button.
Push the button.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
Here's where it gets crazy. First and foremost, yes, as Noel and Matt and Paul Mission Control, by far the most successful blackjackman of us, can confirm, a casino is meant to take your money.
Paul made so much money on blackjack.
I don't think that much money.
I mean, look, compared to what I lost.
I'm a big upper. He's a billionaire. I'm really proud of you, Paul.
No, I'm proud of you too, Paul. I'm just being funny. I'm bitter. I'm jealous is what it is. And then I texted the group. I was like, I got a blackjack app, you guys. I figured it all out. I'm going back in for seconds.
Oh, God.
I'm going to win it all back. You guys were saying something interesting, and we're obviously jumping around here a lot because we're kind of in the midst of this, and it's very interesting. But the idea of the experiential quality of the muscle memory, Ben, you pointed out on the machine. And since here, most of them is just that button push that you were talking about, Matt, what you do get, though, is the same thing that we love in video games. Explosions of sparkly loot that comes out of people you murder in Borderlands or whatever. Sounds that you know, sync up with visuals and clicks and bops. And it just and that is just as much part of the whole muscle memory that's almost replaced it, because it used to be the machines would just go ding 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 or whatever. Now it's like a surround sound experiential thing.
And you get micro rewards.
Yes,
right. Well, you got to keep them strung along. I'm tapping the inside of my elbow, folks.
That means hit me.
Universal sign for addicts.
That means give me another card.
It means hit if you do the addict sign on the car.
Well,
on
dopamine on the is what we're talking about, right?
Right. Yes. And we'll get to this. Matt,
it's all the same thing with video games these
Absolutely,
days on mobile games.
Sure.
Where you get in-game currency. So you can pay for one currency in most games.
Right.
And that one can buy you pretty much anything
in the
game.
Some games have multiple currencies.
But then there will be a secondary one that you win, you accrue by playing the game. And with that one, you can get like lesser stuff, but you still feel like you're winning rewards.
Right, because it triggers the dopamine. That's why I call social media the dopamine casino.
And eventually in those situations you're talking about, Matt, you're going to spend another buck. Even if it's just the one, because you're like, no, they gave me something for my investment.
I almost
they
had
gave
something
me more
there.
Divots. Yeah. You know, I got more simoleons.
I'm so close. It's edging into dopamine and reward. And there's nothing wrong with what's happening. There's nothing illegal there either. At base, you're paying for entertainment. It's the same way you would pay to go to an amusement park.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
There's
the possibility you would win a roller coaster. That's the only difference.
I squarely enjoyed losing my money. It was like I paid for a ticket to a theme park. I enjoyed it. I'm not mad.
No, I want to point out something that our pal Paul said that really stuck with me. We walked over to an ATM. ATMs in casinos are notorious for having a high transaction fee. Similar to that you would see in some adult entertainment venues. And
so I've heard.
And so
no, what?
And as shout out Claremont Lounge. And as Paul pointed out, when we pulled he pulled some cash from a casino ATM before we went on our first blackjack foray. Now Paul is one of the smartest guys we know, and he just shrugged and said with that typical Paul aplomb, he said, "Huh, look at that. The house is already winning."
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that.
Oh, yeah. Well, the whole point is, okay, so where we are located in Las Vegas at the casino where we happen to be staying in our own happy little live, laugh, love situation, it would take us, we were trying to calculate how long it would take for us to get to an ATM that is branded for just a bank, right? That one of us has an account with. Versus going to one of the in-house ATMs, which are going to charge, I think it was something.
$10.
It was $10.
It was literally $9.99, which is its own kind of weaponized psychology.
Of course.
It's a deal.
Because you read the first number.
Yeah. But what did you put it really well, Ben. It was something like they immediately win before you've even played.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I mean, and that's part of the great game, right? Different great game. The casino great game. Like when we look around the floor and we were talking about this, we learn a little bit more about the surveillance, the psychology, the math at play when you're paying attention. We notice every possible variable that could result in us spending some cash has been accounted for. And if possible, wherever possible, whenever possible. It has been optimized. And maybe we talk about the gaming floor itself. Like we've been talking about that.
Remember that guy, Benny Binion, I mentioned a minute ago? The carpet, right?
Yeah.
That's like a big part of a feature or a bug, depending on where you stand, of these
casinos.
Or
depending on the cleanliness of
the place.
That's
exactly right. But what you'll notice in any of these casinos is one, usually in the gaming areas, low ceilings, all these weird low-hanging, bizarro chandelier things.
To feel more intimate as Bill Friedman.
Low light, but not too low. Music that you can tap your toe to but isn't distracting.
Yeah.
It's weirdly ambient feeling. And that carpet, weird psychedelic patterns that kind of are almost painful to look at for too long, which keeps your eyes squarely planted on the game, man.
Yep. I want to play in a casino that just has Tom Waits on the soundtrack.
Well, those casinos don't exist anymore. They're in old Vegas if they do. Maybe the Golden Nugget. No, that's more like a Texas Roadhouse, man. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get that in Vegas.
Maybe we'll make our own casino.
I
love that.
Can I get one that's all Prodigy?
Of course you can. That's a little intense.
Yeah. I don't think the house is going to like that very much.
Beat me here, Paul. Do you say smack my up instead of hit me?
What? No, I was talking about Firestarter. I want to start fires.
They're both great songs.
They're both songs of their time. But the thing is, just like the grocery store thing, just like the cruise ship, just like the live, laugh, love, you know, mixed use apartment complex places, the research that went into these is amazing. You know, the restaurants, the theatrical venues. We walked here. This part of Vegas is very much a walkable city, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's that.
Oh, yeah. And but also, like, Vegas in general is not walkable at all.
No.
And to your point about, like, getting caught in these labyrinths, you might look on a map and be like, this place I want to go to is, like, right over there. It's across the street. But then you go and realize the reality of it is you'd have to, like, it's like walking into the sea. You might as well, you know?
I mean, it's a Family Circus map. You guys remember Family Circus
maps?
That's not the map, though. The little beep, 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 beep.
That's right. Exactly. Or like a Looney Tunes overview when, like, Bugs is running, you know, he's, like, digging his tunnels to Albuquerque or whatever. It's crazy. I had a map. It said there was a walking. It was giving me the dotted line. I get to a place where it's like, there is a highway here, and I cannot. It's like when Michael Scott drives his car to the lake. It was like that, but there was nowhere for me to go. So I'm not going to eat here. I'm going elsewhere.
And this goes back to all of this design, these circuitous routes especially, and these low ceilings, and these semi-low lights.
Vomity carpets.
They all come from a guy named Bill Friedman. What he did changed the game of human psychology and consumer psychology so much that grocery stores started looking at designing their layouts like casinos.
Amazing. Ben, is he one of these guys that just did this research and then people co-opted it to do these evil things? Or was he mega into this from the start?
He wrote a book, right? And he was he just gambled all the time.
He had a real problem.
He had skin in the game. Got it.
He was definitely a veteran.
So he tricked himself then.
He went around to all the casinos and he literally looked at individual sections of casinos.
Sometimes as an excuse to gamble.
Exactly.
Like, I'm doing research.
I got to sit in this particular area.
I'm writing a novel about someone addicted to drugs.
I've been wearing the same pair of socks for 5 years.
Because I'm researching this socks.
It's my lucky socks, you know?
But he came up with some pretty interesting stuff that then casinos, upon reading his book and getting the insights, were like, oh, well, let's at least test some of this out.
Yeah.
And they found success.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that was my question, though. He wasn't necessarily consulting for the casinos. He was just interested. This was his field of interest.
He did start to consult before, because the book gets published in the late 1990s. And it's
what's the book called?
It's called Designing Casinos to Dominate the Competition.
Is to dominate the competition like in an extra colon? Is it like the subtitle?
I don't, man.
Smaller text.
I don't think there's a colon there. I would have liked the spacing of it. But
to rob you.
But
you
it know? Sounds very like Laws of Power.
Oh my God. You know? Yeah, it's very Sun Tzu. Or but like frivolous.
thought it was just a picture of Bill with a cat of nine tails in a casino and he was just kind of
Yeah. He's got a weird mask on.
Yeah. Make that casino your little lady.
Consensually, right? But he doesn't have a chapter on safe words. The entire book is about what you can do to keep people in a casino and playing for absolutely as long as possible. And his metric of success is just the percentage of visitors who, one, actually gamble, and then two, not just how long they stay, but how often they return.
Of course. Yes. And this is in the 20s-ish or later than that?
60s, right?
When he's starting to think about this?
Yeah.
Yeah. When he publishes the book, it's the
90s. Yeah.
Holy crap. That's wild.
Because he researches
changed
for like decades.
Yes, I could see that. So again, like, you know, early casinos, they had their like kind of ways that were maybe more rooted in like vaudeville. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, we know how to keep the butts in the seats.
We
know,
got a steak
playing the
dinner
poker machine. That's
Tuesdays.
Exactly right. Old school. So they were probably, some of these tricks, again, were probably starting to happen, but not to this degree. This is a sea change,
well,
right?
Yeah. And let's also be honest, before financial transactions largely moved to electronic media,
none of this was possible.
Well, yeah, you could just say, oh, we made a ton off the slots and take the money you did from your other legitimate
right
work and sanitation
guzzle
and
it
construction
into some other thing. That's
and just
right
say, wow, this casino's cleaning up.
Isn't it funny that we haven't even talked about the mob? That's really the topic of
it. It's like still an episode.
It really truly
yeah
is. But there's an incredible mob museum here that I think we're all hoping to check
yeah
out before we leave town. But okay, so we're hedging around this, edging around this, if you will. But what were, we've mentioned a lot of these, but let's hear it like in listicle form. Like what were his prime movers, you know, his principles here?
Yeah, it was stuff like no clocks, no windows
right
in the gaming
no
room.
No outside light.
Lose track of time. And, you know, this mattered more when there weren't ubiquitous smartphones,
mm-hmm,
right? And when people were also less likely to have wristwatches. But even if you have a wristwatch, it's going to be easy to ignore.
Yeah.
Because you can physically remove it from your sight instead of, like, a wall clock will always be there.
Well, and most games in a casino require one hand.
Ah.
Right?
Very.
And your
oh
dominant hand is probably the one that doesn't have your watch on
you it. Notice they have buttons on both sides of all the machines
yeah
too, because
yeah
and this is, you know, in the entire United States, this is the only city I think that still lets people smoke inside.
Oh,
yes,
that's
inside
because of a tribal loophole.
That's interesting.
Is it
but
really?
But it's so old school, and people are smoking with their left hand, tapping with their
yeah
right hand,
yeah,
and then drinking in between, because they're just feeding you drinks as long as you're sitting at that machine slamming that button, mashing that button.
Can we say that we're at the Aria? Are we allowed to say that?
Sure.
It seems like such a bougie casino
yeah
hotel to me. When we first walked in and there was one person smoking a cigarette immediately upon walking
Matt
in.
Matt slapped it out of her mouth.
Well, but again, one of the principles is have gambling equipment immediately
yes
when you walk
yes
in the casino, right?
Principle number two, immediately, no empty lobbies.
Exactly.
Bro.
And my lady is just hitting that dart. And then, and like, I just went, wait, lady, you can't do that in here.
Bro, they have gambling machines when you walk out
yeah
of the plane.
Yeah,
I don't think they let you smoke in the airport. I didn't at least notice any of that. But no, it's the
I
idea
think it depends on how much you win.
Anything goes. They
yeah
want you to be as comfortable. These seats are cushy. They feel good to sit in. All of these principles that you're mentioning still hold true today. If
yeah
and they've just kind of, you know, improved them. And for example, you mentioned the wristwatch and stuff and the no light. But also, if you guys notice, we have a hard time reaching each other when we're in and we get separated.
Ah, yes, the
like,
signal.
The signal is bad, and it's because of this all this glass and concrete and steel everywhere.
That's smart.
I don't know if it's by design, but it feels like
it
it's
is,
by
but
design.
It has
you
to
know
be. And everything's by design. Also, like the labyrinthine design
yes
of it. Even if we're on a, even if we're in a situation where we know where we're, one of us is saying, hey, I'm by the restroom, and then another person saying, hey, I just got off the elevator.
Yeah, which one?
Yeah, right. You have to navigate. Again, the correct word is labyrinthine.
Like we just did like to be in the moment, guys.
Yeah.
Ben just got a salute from an AR carrying law enforcement officer, and it weirded me out a little bit.
Do you think
we
it
good
was? Do you think we
we're
okay
good? We're good.
Was
okay
it a sinister salute, or was it
no,
like a thank
was,
you for your podcast
like,
service salute?
It was
no,
we
good
were just hanging out.
That's
you know
nice. That's nice. It's good. Glad he's got our
it
back.
It just freaked me out.
No,
sorry.
It's cool. But you know, one the reason I mentioned the cell phone thing only because you know, it's if someone, let's say you did have a horrible gambling problem, which we're going to get to, really hard for someone to call you and tell you, hey, please come
mm-hmm
home. Where are you?
Mm-hmm. It's your daughter's birthday.
Why aren't you coming home, Dad? You know?
Oh, my God. We didn't even talk about on the ATM. Before you pull money out,
yeah,
it has the whole warning thing like, hey, if you've got a gambling problem, call this number. Okay, go ahead and put your thing in so you can get more money. Oh, also, you can take a line of credit out if you want. Go ahead. But hey, if also, you need help.
Yeah, here's the least interesting flyer in the city. Right next to the ATM.
It's in Comic Sans, you know? Yeah. Just immediately throw it in the trash.
We're being serious, though. It really does flash up a warning about gambling before it allows you to take money out.
That's the law, you
know? And that's, like many laws, it is not...
I think it's the law. It could just be good optics.
No, you're right. Okay. You're right. I think you are correct. It's also not... not particularly helpful for anybody who has struggled with addiction. No. You know that a pamphlet is not going to, especially if you're in the grips of a period of usage, it's not going to change what's happening with you. We're familiar with a lot of the basic nudges. You know, we don't have to go through all the principles of design, but we should mention the emphasis, the Friedman philosophy, the game designing philosophy says, you don't need the accoutrement. Yeah. You don't need the fun things. You need the low ceilings to make it feel intimate. And you need the games, the slots especially, to be the main draw. That's why they're almost
shiny. And they draw you like a moth to a flame.
And they're loud.
And they're loud and they're insistent. And they're always... they're primarily going to be by heavily trafficked areas. You literally cannot avoid... the slots as a person who goes to a casino and stays at night.
What was the casino that started out with a yellow brick road because it was based
on... Well, that was the MGM Grand, and the building is still greenish, I think. It's called something else now, and I can't remember the original MGM Grand.
The Park now. MGM or something.
No, it's not even... I don't think it's even an MGM property. I think hotel did whatever bought it.
Okay.
But yeah, remember, let's think about this. Like MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, the film company, they got in on the ground floor of the hotel casino business. So yeah, in the 30s, when that hotel opened, I think the Wizard of Oz was the biggest movie that ever existed, and they had apparently like a yellow brick road in there. And I learned all this from Trinity, by the way, at the Museum of Neon. So please, if you're in town, check it out and ask for Trinity. She was an amazing tour guide.
We love tour guides.
Yeah, and again, that branding stuff has been in the game from the start, but MGM is still kind of king.
But the point is, what we've got in here from basically the principles is that, as a tourist, the yellow brick road is like something astonishing and that's amazing. Right. Oh,
and
that's from that movie I love. Yeah. But it doesn't matter as much as the gaming equipment and where it is.
I see your point. I see your point.
That's what Bill's idea was. Simple, straightforward, very successful. Get people in. Get them playing as soon as possible. Remove indicators of time. And when they need to eat, sleep, urinate, or defecate, kind of punish them for it.
Yeah.
Force them to walk past every single other opportunity to put money in a machine.
Or to get drunk.
Or to get drunk, which means they'll make weirder decisions.
When you say it like that, no, but I mean, you know, and again, we've talked about the people with gambling addiction stuff, and I think we all watched, I believe it was a PBS special about older folks that have gambling problems, and apparently that's a real epidemic with older folks, a lot of boomer era kind of generation folks, because they have disposable income and they have a lot of time on their hands.
We're going to keep going until Paul stops us.
Okay.
Some of the folks that were talking about their problems, they cashed in their 401ks, they cashed in their IRAs and all of this stuff to the point of just being completely destitute.
Yeah. And think about that too, because you're looking at people who in this society are often ignored, they're isolated, they're relegated, right, to lonely places. So this feels like it's bustling, it's happening, there are people around you, you're getting free stuff, people are paying attention to you.
I think that's the big problem, dude.
That's what it is. Part. It's that sense of community. And I will be honest, we do know that Blue Zone indicators show us people who are elderly tend to live longer and have a higher quality of life if they feel they are part of a community. So the game does change, though, because there's a guy who comes along and says, okay, Bill Friedman's philosophy has taken over Vegas. I'm going to throw away every rule. He's a legendary interior designer and native Las Vegas guy, Roger Thomas. He grew up in Las Vegas. He's like you mentioned Golden Girls earlier, Noel. Do you guys remember Designing Women?
Yes.
It's all about interior designers.
Yeah.
I got to say, I like this guy, even though he's kind of... I don't know, he's magician doing of the same psychological thing. Kind of evil, but like his ideas are creative as hell. And yeah. I appreciate it.
Describe the difference between game design, which is Bill Friedman's philosophy, and Thomas's, which is playground design.
Well, it is. In my mind, the way I view it is Friedman established a lot of these standards that then Las Vegas and other, you know, major hubs of gambling took up, right?
Sure. Choose a theme for the outside.
Yes.
But then it's the same casino over and over.
Your color scheme might change a little bit.
Oh, that's funny.
But then this guy comes along and he goes, he was working, I think it was Bellagio, the first one that he was working on.
Yes.
At least his first major project he was working on
with Steve Wynn.
Okay, so.
That's the one with the crazy fountain out front, right?
Who still runs the town, even though he retired in 2018. We're talking with an Uber driver about this. Yes. We got to be careful.
But his concept was to almost flip all of those design principles on their heads, not all of them, but several of them on their heads, specifically to give the casino patron something different. Really, I think that,
like, an experience,
that was his original
right?
concept. Yeah, let's not make them all cramped. Let's not make everybody confused about where they're going and make it a maze. Let's let people see where entrances and exits are. We're not going to create an anxiety-ridden place the way this other dude did. We're going to make it open and make you feel opulent.
We're going to make you feel like you want to do this, not that you are pressured to do this.
Yes.
But wait a minute. But isn't what exists now and what we've experienced in the Aria kind of a combination of both of those things?
It is.
Very much so.
Yes.
It is an evolution. And that's because it is a newer school organization, right? And Thomas did a lot of amazing things. He threw out all the old rules. He threw all the old rules out the window by starting building places with, you know, windows and
or fake windows that appear to be windows,
which is also a good move for any bunker or space shuttle.
I haven't been in one, but I've heard that some of them have the ceilings painted like the outside sky.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like a cloudy scene.
Paris. Have y'all been in Paris?
I haven't been in yet.
We have to go.
Yeah. Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Great.
And it's freaky.
So is that more the philosophy of what we're talking about with this guy?
Again,
I think
sort
I haven't
of a
been
mix.
In one like what you're describing yet.
Yeah, it's sort of a mix. So it's like a, I don't want to say pure one because all of them are.
Everything's white and wicker.
There's a lot of that. Yeah. But are there rooms like that? But this stuff is so calculated that each room is not measured by a qualitative aesthetic appeal on behalf of the designer, Thomas himself. It's measured on a quantitative return.
Yes.
Day over day, month over month. And if it doesn't make that return, then it will, or year over year possibly. And if it doesn't make that return, then that room gets refitted. And he said, look.
Right.
Yeah.
Same with certain games. They're monitoring, like, if a certain type of poker or a certain video machine isn't playing, they put it out to pasture.
But Ben's really, the important thing is the room, the sector, right?
Like, 100%.
If you imagine how it's laid out. Orange,
yes,
like, this slice is really not, it's only given us 40% return.
Yeah.
Yeah, only four. They make so much money. Even the ones that you think of, like, your small local casinos or regional casinos, they are cleaning up millions of dollars at a fast clip.
We were talking with one of our colleagues about the MGM hack and how if they had to shut that stuff down for just one day, like just millions of dollars down the tube, not to mention just the lost wages and all of the just the costs keep it running. But
sure.
I mean, you see, we just sit at that machine or that table for the little bit we did. She's just shoving that money into a cash box.
Yeah,
it's like
it was
right there.
Our money too.
Let's talk about that. There is a clear
slot
plastic thing that is held by the dealer and a clear plastic receptacle.
You shove it in there
and
like making sausages.
You watch your 50 or 20 or 100 or 10 just go whoop.
But guys, it's almost like they're sleight of handing it away because they want you to stop thinking about that bill.
You'll
and
want
now
to see
as quickly
it.
As
now
possible.
That's a good observation. And also, I want to say in all fairness, dealers get treated terribly by a lot of people, and that goes into some of the Vegas myths. So maybe we take a break for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back just to bust some myths here toward the end.
Love it.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans, and yet There's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
And we're back, recording live here from the iHeart Podcast Studio, powered by Bose at the House of Music at the iHeart Radio Music Festival, talking about casinos. Gonna bust some casino myths. We've mentioned some of these things along the way, but again, let's get right to it.
Okay, your dealer.
Yes,
we're jumping around here.
We're so nice to our dealers, by the way.
Because they're amazing.
Also, we're from Atlanta, you guys. We are weirdly nice to everyone.
Of course,
but
to your point, like some of them are treated abusively.
I don't think it's weirdly nice. I think it's normal nice, but we are kind of in a bubble.
We're impressed also because the skill in which they're laying out these cards.
Oh, the hands are so cool.
It's very, it's like cardistry. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
But it's okay. But that's part of the psychology, guys.
Yes,
we got to say.
All sleight of hand.
Yeah.
That person is an employee of the place that is taking our money.
Sure.
And that person is being kind, helping us understand, oh, no, actually, you should double down on this one because you're going to get a better chance.
Well, then it's
whoops, I got a blackjack.
Well, that's why, I mean, it's another.
That did happen to me five times in a row.
Common thing you see in sales where, you know, you start getting. One thing I will say is dealers never use the royal we when they're talking with you, but sales guys, they use the royal we.
Give you a little touch, too.
That little priming touch, little NLP. But the anchoring and stuff aside, the dealer cannot rig the game.
No.
It's impossible.
I'd love to just pick your brain about some theories that Matt and I were talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, let's go.
Well, just like we just had this thing where I asked the question, like, how is it that it seems the edge is always with the dealer every time? Like,
or let's say 75%
of the time. Okay, fair enough. But practically getting 20 or 21 at the end. And I'm like, why is that happening? And I mean, again,
why are you getting stuck with the 15?
Exactly, every time. And even when I did what I was supposed to do, I either busted or anyway, I had some bad luck, quote unquote, that's its own conversation. But Matt was like, what if there's some way that because of the cameras that are looking at everything, that are seeing the hands.
And because of the black box that is the shuffler.
It's feeding it. And it's like inserting just the right card or reordering them. Or you're saying this would be found out immediately by gaming commissions.
It's highly illegal.
Exactly, because it's fraud,
but
right?
What I'm saying is all you would have to do is tell the system how many players there are.
Sure.
So that it can be aware of who it is dealing to.
You don't think there are smarter people than you or I that do this for a living and play that just wouldn't stand for that?
Advantage players?
Yeah, well, the ones that count cards, which, again, totally out of my wheelhouse. That is a way that you can get the edge, speaking of legal versus illegal. That's not technically illegal, but it's frowned upon, and you will get kicked out, you know?
Ben, the whole thing that we talked about was in the absence of transparency.
Speculation thrives.
And when your shuffler is this black box that is opaque, you cannot see it.
You don't do anything.
And we're not talking about the person. We're talking about a mechanism.
Yes,
that shuffles. Like
it's a black box.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Like we're not. It's not a figure of speech. It's a literal. Oh yeah, it's a mechanical
thing that does the shuffling. That the dealer, after they've got a little thing on the side, at least that once it fills up with the number of cards, they feed those cards back in. And inside that black box that you can't see into, there are like six or more. Full decks of cards.
Yes.
Well, so theoretically, I'm just saying it seems possible, but
Volkswagen cheated on emissions for years.
That's true.
Yeah, they also used a black box.
Well, then how come Mission Control is, I'll say it, Paul, it's too late. How come Mission Control is knocking out like 5-6 blackjacks a night?
It was just this thought experiment.
You're so right. It is because I've never played blackjack. And I went in and I played blackjack with you guys and I loved the experience, but I still lost a couple hundred dollars.
And we should go play after this.
Oh, I'm going to.
But I still left.
I told you, I got to get back on top, baby.
But it's just so crazy psychologically, the feeling that I can be manipulated in that way.
Right. And God forbid you had something in you that made you really susceptible to that, like a certain gene maybe that makes people more susceptible to alcoholism or drug addiction.
Yeah.
You know, and again, we're not here to soapbox about the evils necessarily of this stuff, but there are people that are triggered by that dopamine, because that rush, and they can't get enough of it.
Well, how did they make me feel so good about it? Is there something else at play?
Yes. It is definitely not pumping oxygen into the air.
Isn't that funny how that came up like on every listicle video about things casinos don't want you to know?
And Matt, I believed it for a second.
You
made the excellent point. Matt and I were talking about this, and Matt said, look how many people are smoking.
Yeah.
How high can the oxygen mix be?
Well, but the thing
it's
was
flammable, right?
Yeah. But they've got incredible ventilation. Some of the newer casinos, which is a real thing that a dealer confirmed to us, is that the dealer tables, if you're playing blackjack or poker, one of those games, they've got tiny little holes cut into those tables that shoot air at the people who are playing, at the players.
Exercise bike at Planet Fitness.
But it's more of a health and safety thing. It's to prevent the dealer from immediately or directly inhaling the secondhand smoke.
That's a really good point.
But if you're a player and you're getting that, I don't know that in this case it would just be a breeze alert. That wouldn't really hit you. I don't think that would affect you. Much.
I kind of think it would. I think you're onto something. And you know, I did see in lieu of the whole oxygen quandary, which we know is bullcrap. They make it cold in there, and they
the
have
cold
really
is
good.
Part of it.
Yeah,
it's supposed to keep you awake.
That's right. Yeah,
because a big it's supposed to keep you awake, and then also keep you feeling like you're moving. But it's interesting because other places like. Well, depending on your incarceration mileage may vary, but there are concerted efforts in some places to keep things. You know what? We'll keep it in. It's a thing for a different show. There is a move to keep you awake, and the grain of truth in the oxygen thing is that pleasant smells.
Yeah, that's it. It's essential oils.
You haven't thought about the smell.
I forget who it was. I think it
Dennis Reynolds.
that is for sure Des Reynolds. Oh God, I freaking love that scene. I think it was Will maybe, and a couple of our other colleagues who commented because they've been to the Aria before where we're staying, and they said the Aria smell is particularly strong this year. Because they've been here before.
What a weird thing to say.
No, I know.
How Victorian.
You ever been to like the a pottery barn?
It's, you know, it's particularly fetching.
Certain stores sort of have a smell. It's almost a signature smell.
Yeah, Woods. Exactly. Abercrombie Woods.
Or, Jesus, or like fake fresh baked cookies or bread.
Or even
stuff.
Something legit like the library smell. Yeah. You know? But these things can trigger nostalgia and they can trigger that comfort and that coziness.
Yeah, it's the number one way to encode memory too, right?
Dude.
So, there was this 2006 study that found there were some smells that increased casino returns by a cartoonish percentage.
What's the top smell?
45%.
Weed.
The top smell was you, bro.
Thanks, man. That's my nickname. They call me the top smell.
They call you top smell. Nice. You heard it here first. Yeah. Matty Two Hands and the old top smell Brown. The paper said that what could be happening is not necessarily a memory that people have that triggers gambling, but that the whatever it is generalized enough that when people do smell it, they stop and they linger. And while they're lingering, there's another opportunity to say, well, I have a dollar.
That's right.
Well, it also might smell expensive. Which makes you feel expensive.
Ah, right. Yeah, the identification.
Oh, especially if you've got a room there, right? Like, oh man, I'm a guest here.
I show my card.
Look up there, just at the elegance that I am inside of as a guest.
It's aspirational for sure.
And then you sit down and you're going to begin playing a game and they notice, oh, you've put a couple $100 down. They bring you, oh, sir, would you like a drink?
How about a back massage?
Oh, they're free.
A back massage.
Yeah, the massage was new to me. You guys know how I feel about people touching me.
Yeah, I wasn't in the
you
mood.
You love it?
I do not care for. Right. So I do not care for strangers. Even, granted, very attractive, very kind strangers. I'm coming up and I'm like, you're proposing a nightmare to me, you're saying? You know, would you? I'm a stranger. Would you like me to rub your lumbar region?
I, as a man who loves a good massage, it felt like the wrong time. I wasn't really in the mood. You know, I was losing my money. It was, but I mean, you know, they make the rounds, and then there's these, you know, cocktail servers that will give you free drinks. If you go to the bar and buy one, they'll charge you $25
for
it. But if you just sit there, they clock you and they bring it to you, and they'll keep feeding these to you as long as you're sitting down putting money in.
Right, and then that means there's a safe way to calculate it too, because imagine you are just at a regular bar. Then, you know, calculate the number of drinks you would have over a series of hours. And then if you're drinking and playing responsibly, then you're basically just paying a bar tab.
Well, yeah, okay, so let's do that calculation. What if a bar makes a 60% profit on
Markup
a single
on
drink
booze?
That
yeah,
you
yeah, yeah.
buy, right?
Okay.
If you buy... does somebody have a calculator?
Yeah,
if you bought, like, the concept would be if you bought three drinks and the house comped you a fourth,
so I'm doing
like, how much are they actually losing?
Four
or are they gaining
12.
Like crazy? I think they're still gaining like
they
crazy.
Are, they
of
are
course
still
they
gaining.
Are. Every calculation they're making is, you know, to your point, back to the ATM machine. The house is already winning. And the thing about the payouts they have to do on these machines, they know what that is.
Right.
They're never going to do it a penny over. So they've got this big picture calculation down to the booze bill, you know, and they know what it is. And it's a minimal investment.
And
it has
it's
to be
not,
nothing.
The free
expense.
Drinks are not the top shelf
no,
booze.
No, of course not. I don't think you can ask for a Grey Goose, you know.
Right.
I think you just say vodka cran. You
also,
know?
Always tip.
Of course.
Guys, I guess I have terrible news.
Oh, no. What happened?
Oh, boy.
I just daydreamed about playing a slot machine.
No, I
want to
go do it so bad. I really want to get done with this episode so we can go jam on those. I want to do a hand.
Yeah.
But again, listen, we're being flippant about this. We are being honest. I think
no, they got us. I'm not being flippant. They got us.
What I mean, though, is.
They got us a little.
Right. But we're not saying, like, you should do this or whatever. You know, obviously, we never do that about anything. But I'm saying, like, it's been worth the price of admission
sure.
for me because it is fun. And even though it's like kind of stupid and frivolous and I'm a little mad at myself, not that much.
Right. It's also experiential.
That's
and,
right.
And there's the other aspect here, which is that objectively, yes, casinos are a conspiracy. They are not necessarily an evil conspiracy, you know, but
people do win.
People do. Especially if they own casinos, they win constantly.
Yeah,
I did see. I watched a lady win $4,000 today.
I saw a lady win in $2,600 at a slot machine yesterday.
Do you think, though? And again, this is depends on the person, that they just jammed that stuff right back in and then walked away with nothing,
or do you think they cashed out? Put in before they got there?
We don't know.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah,
right. So we are going to end on one thing. We're I think we're getting a nod from our producers here because we are live and we do have to go see Lil Wayne in a second.
It's true. He's not live.
That is a true story.
Oh, yeah, that's so true.
That is very true. We are going to end on one last thing. We told you some of the grifts, some of the insidious psychological design and calculations. We told you some of the myths. Let's talk about
history too.
Yeah, history as well. One of the mysteries is what happens when people die at casinos.
Oh, yeah.
This is a big conspiracy. I think this is our big
get Disney territory
here. Is it like no one dies at Disney? I was about to ask. They certainly don't report it. They don't like to talk about it.
No, it's not the headlines at all, dude. In casino.org, that has a lot of interesting research on this, they pulled some 2022 data from the Southern Nevada Health District. And this is publicly or non-exclusive, they call it, information. And it showed that in last year, as we record, 1,928 tourists died in Las Vegas.
Whoa.
Which is down from the previous year.
But at least we know the vast majority of those are health-related complications.
That's right. Which makes sense. I mean,
sure.
You literally do see old folks chain-smoking cigarettes with oxygen tanks. I mean, it's a thing. So, I mean, and people, again, there's a lot of old folks that gamble in Vegas. People could just, it's their time, you know? It's granny's time.
And they're in stressful financial situations,
oftentimes, too. That's correct.
77% of people die from what you're saying, Matt, natural causes, but that could be things like heart attacks, right?
Yeah.
Very easily. And then what was it? Of the 1,928 people who died, 344 were accidents. 51 were suicides.
Yeah, not 51%.
51 individual people.
That's a lot.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
And 26 were murders. There were two people whose causes of death were indetermined.
TBD.
Undetermined.
Yeah.
We'll TBD.
Reminder, this is tourists. So not anybody living in Las Vegas.
Just tourists.
And you know, I mean, there's certainly have to be plenty of locals with serious gambling addictions as well.
Yeah, of course, right? Like there are a lot of people who live by the shore of Florida or California who get skin cancer. But so the thing is that it appears there is, to your point, Noel, a huge history of keeping this out of the headline. Thankfully, law enforcement does investigate. Of course, the families do have to be notified unless it's, you know, a Lake Mead vacation. And
I swear to God, I just saw Zach Galifianakis. It wasn't him. It looked like him from The Hangover.
It might
let's
be
just
Zach.
Keep going. I'm sorry to
it
interrupt.
Might be. He's always trying to hang
sorry
out with
to interrupt.
Us. But the idea is that this stuff just doesn't make it into the media because Vegas wants us thinking about the possibility of untold riches, an amusement park where I can't just ride the roller coasters. I might walk away owning the park.
You mentioned Disney, and just to add a tiny detail, there was a period when Disney was just absolutely blowing up in terms of their theme park business, and Vegas wanted in on that. So that's why you have a lot of casinos like Treasure Island, Excalibur, you know, all of these kind of very like circus even. It's very much like a midway for kids and skee ball and stuff, you know?
Yeah. And at this point, folks, we've gone over our time in the booth, but luckily I have it on good authority that the folks who are recording a live show after us are kind of cool.
Who are they?
Who's that going to be, guys?
It's a show called Ridiculous History. Hopefully they'll let us slide a little bit on our scheduling.
Those jerks?
Yeah, they're kind of mids.
Okay. I heard there might be a certain quizster in the general vicinity.
Then I'm leaving. I'm hanging out with Wayne and Zach. This
Mr.
is
Quizster?
Garbage.
Lil? What about Lil Durk? He's around too.
Lil Pooh Bear?
I don't know Lil
Pooh
Bear.
AKA Lil Wayne?
Maddie Two Hands and Top Smell. I suggest we call it a night this evening. As we leave to Noctivigate, folks, remember, there's a lot we didn't get to here. Old mob stories, the Lake Mead bodies, the strangest, darkest bets ever made. Perhaps that's an episode in the future. We have to return to Vegas soon, one way or another. But in the meantime, we hope you enjoyed this episode. It is true that when it comes to just how tightly controlled this fantasy is, that's the stuff casinos don't want you to know.
You just triggered the out of me, Ben.
I get that a lot.
Today, I went on a hike to a place called the Red Rock Canyon.
Ooh, beautiful.
National Conservation
Area. Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, my God. I think because of my experience with CGI'd movies, with physical representations that Disney will create, like at their theme parks, of like an alien planet or places like that. When I was there at that real place with actual rocks and stones and mountains, I felt like I was on a set. And I was not in reality, rather than when I was in reality and looking at a set, feeling like the opposite. Does that make sense?
Yes. Wait till you see the Hoover Dam, bro.
Thank you.
Oh, yes. My God. No, I think you're absolutely right.
No, I know what you mean.
I feel like our perceptions have been so warped and altered by the representations, dude, of real things, like false real things.
Yeah, there's a line in Clockwork Orange where he says something, sometimes the real world doesn't ever look as real as when you video it on a screen.
Yes.
You know? That's so, yeah. But we were just inside watching TLC perform, right?
Yes.
We're watching T-Boz and Chili on
Still
stage.
Still got it, yeah.
Amazing. When I pulled up my phone and zoomed it in and looked at the big screens, it felt more real than looking at the human beings.
Yeah. Who were there dancing.
Yes. Yeah.
Very well, by the way.
But still, like,
T-Boz Chili, if you hear this.
Are you having a mind explosion, man?
Look, I didn't do mushrooms, okay?
Are you sure?
Is this wrong?
Oh, my God.
No,
that's
the
number one thing.
Are you getting the kick in,
bro? That's
the
number one thing people say when they don't do mushrooms. You know what, folks? Or when they are doing mushrooms, yeah. Excuse me. Okay, I'm going to be clear, guys. A lot of stuff here is legal in Vegas. I suggest we get to it.
What I'm saying is you can apply that to the casinos. And
yes.
You can apply that to the hotels. You can apply it to if you're out on the sea on a cruise, or if you're living in a place that has five restaurants on the first floor and you and everybody else lives on the second and fifth floors or whatever. I think maybe our perception has been skewed so much by the digital world that we inhabit most of the time that we can't even see what's really around us.
NSA, this is the one. Omega, abracadabra, abracadabra.
We won the Omega Mart game.
Stop it, dude. I'm not an invisible, okay?
So we are going to call it a night. We are venturing forth into the evening, folks. We will, I believe, return to this stuff. The stuff casinos don't want you to know, maybe in a future episode of Ridiculous History, or stuff they don't want you to know. In the meantime, please check out our live Ridiculous History show coming to you, also being recorded at the House of Music here at the iHeartRadio Festival. Most importantly, what do you think? If you can't find us in the casino losing crazy money on blackjack, you can still find us online, right?
Yeah, I'll be the one getting the neck massage and crying. You can hit us up on the internet where we are conspiracy stuff on X, nay, Twitter, Facebook, and the other one, YouTube, the video one. You can find us at Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram and TikTok.
Hey, do you like to use your phone to make phone calls? Well, our number is 1-833-STDWYTK. When you call in, you've got 3 minutes. Please give yourself a cool nickname, not your government name.
Yeah, like the big smell.
Maybe
the main
Greg.
Smell.
What was you it? Went with top smell.
Top smell.
Top smell and or Greg McKenna, whatever Ben said earlier. You'll have to go back and hear it. Such a good name. I just like Greg. Greg.
Wow.
Greg has a whole persona.
I'm old Greg.
Greg!
Yeah. Why are you saying Greg over and over? I think you're having a break with reality,
no,
man.
No, I'm not.
No,
I'm not.
I love it.
I was thinking, what is that show on HBO about with Greg? It's Cousin Greg.
It's Cousin Greg. Greg.
Cousin Greg. But he's yes. like, Greg.
Yeah, that's
Sorry.
Right. That was good. No, that guy's very British, and he does a very good patrician New Yorker who's supposed
to
be from
that.
Canada. No, it's
I
good.
I failed.
All right, what if someone sucks at phone numbers?
By the way, tell us if we can use your name and voice on the air on one of our listener mail episodes. If you don't want to do any of that stuff, but you've got something to tell us, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.